This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Reign in all the earth. Reign in all the earth. We've been singing it, Father. The most important thing, Father, reign in our hearts. There's not anything else in our hearts which is reigning, but only you, Father. Because you've got eternal life with us. You are our Father. Thank you. Thank you that we can come this afternoon, that we can come quiet again, that we can listen to you, that you want to share with us. And yes, this PSC period of the year, there could be a lot of things which are keeping our minds busy. We've seen what we've done. But Lord, today it's about you. This hour is about you. And the rest of our lives and the rest of our eternity is about you, Father. And I bind all the powers and I bind all the minds and I bind all the influences what the enemy wants to bring into our mind, that we can hear what you want to share with us, Father. And we can look up to you, that we can say, Father, here we are. What is it what you want to share with us this afternoon? What is on your heart? And Father, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will flow, that those people with whom you've got an appointment this afternoon, Father, that they're not going to quench the Spirit, but that they will allow the Spirit to flow, and that they can receive what you want to give. You're not forcing yourself down on us, Father. It's a free gift what you're giving to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks a lot. This was the last time this year over here. Thank you. To get your minds a little bit from the Christmas meals and from the oliebollen and all those type of things, I'm just going to ask you something that you can just quickly chat to each other and get your mind a little bit from those oliebollen and from the Christmas meals and so on, but that you can focus a little bit of where God wants to speak to us about. And when I prepared the sermon, God said to me, I've got to speak about surrender. What's coming up in your mind when you hear the word surrender? What is happening? What are you thinking about? Quickly share it with the neighbor next to you so that you forget about the oliebollen and all those other things, like I said, in the Christmas meals. But that you just think a little bit about surrender, and you're most probably going to get a word as we go through the sermon that you say, yes, I thought about that, or I thought about this. Quickly share for half a minute with your neighbor next to you. If there's not a neighbor, then otherwise join with three or so. What do you think about when you hear the word surrender? If you do not know anything, I've put up a picture, then at least there's something which is maybe helping you. Right. It seems to me certain people are already talking about a Second World War and those type of things. Because that's one of the first things which comes into our mind, and it is a military term, a surrender. That a country is surrendering to another country, that you're maybe surrendering a territory or arms, or if there's something else which you are surrendering, or even a power. And of those, surrender can happen peacefully. It can happen that there's not a lot of fighting, but it can also be that it is at the final end of a bloody fight sometimes that the people are surrendering. And then they also sometimes make an agreement. They make a treaty, or they make a sign an capitulation agreement or whatever it is. But that is most of the time the first one which comes up in our mind. And I think a lot of you maybe thought about it. I also wanted to go to the dictionary and say, okay, but what is surrender actually meaning in the dictionary, in today's dictionary? And it says the action of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something, especially into the power of another. So you giving something to the power of another. You're not in control yourself anymore. And if we take a look at the word surrender, apparently it's coming from the French word. I don't know how many people are a little bit know a little bit of French words. Sur rendre, and it means giving back. So surrender is actually giving back. And we come to, if we go later on, if we're talking about surrender to God, we're actually giving back to God. What is God's anyway? There are a few words which are more or less the same, which we can say, okay, they give a little bit of a description. Words like renounce, or waive, or cede, or abandon, or forgo, or capitulate, or retrenchment. But we're giving up, we're delivering something which we have, but we give it to somebody else. As would you give something, let's say, to the police. And it could also be that you are surrendering yourself in a negative way into something, that something is taking totally control of it. That you dump yourself, that you plunge yourself into something which is then taking control. But most of these type of things is all about material things, which have got a certain value as well. But if we go to the personal surrender, the first thing that we always think about personal surrender is negative. Because you're giving something away and you're not in control anymore. And we think negative about it, but it's not necessarily that it has got to be negative. Even in a spiritual context, it is that you're giving your own will away and you're giving it to the will of somebody else or the teaching of somebody else. Now, this type of surrender we can see in Christianity, we can see it in Hinduism, we see it in Islam, we see it in those different religions. We see the same type of surrender. It's not your will anymore, but it's the will and the teaching of that higher power. And sometimes people also say, but surrender is actually a weakness. A person is weak if he is surrendering. That's not necessary. If we take a person, an alcoholist, if he is surrendering himself, he's acknowledging he's in a problem. And until he is going to surrender, he cannot be helped. But once he is going to surrender, then the process of recovery is going to start. Surrender to God. Because there's a battle for us. There's a battle for our soul. There's a battle for our spirit continuously going on. And we've got to surrender to God. We know that God created heaven and earth. Adam and Eve made a mistake. As a result of that, we are born in sin. And we are basically on the default side. So by default, we're not with God. And we've got to surrender to God. We've got to seek Him. So that's not our will anymore, but that we're doing God's will. Because God has got a plan for us. He's got an awesome plan for us. Jeremiah 29, verses 11. I took this one out of the Amplified. It has got a few nicer words, and it tells it, I think, a little bit better. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. This is God speaking, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Now, if we hear that from God, is it then so difficult to surrender to God? Is it then so difficult to say, God, but I want to follow you? Because if those are the plans what you've got for me, and you want to be my father, then I want to surrender to you. Because our own plans are not so good. We've got our own plans. Oh yes, we're very good in it. Before I got involved in the ministry over here, approximately what's it now, 4.5 years back, maybe 5 years, I was fully and full-time involved in a business. And in what business is concerned, it's continuously a strategy. You've got a plan. You've got a marketing plan, and you've got this plan, you've got that plan, and turnover is down, then you must make a plan again, how you do this and how do you that. And each and every time, it's always your own plan and your own plan and your own plan. And when I came to the ministry, I had to take all those plans, which I was used to make all myself, and throw it into the dustbin and say, Lord, this is not my plan anymore, but what is your plan? What do you want to do? And a few times I had to become quiet and say, okay, sorry, this is not God's plan. This is not my plan. I've got to throw it away, or I've got to go to ask God, is this really, is it acceptable for him? Is this coming from him, or is it not coming from him? So yes, if we go our own plan, it's not so good. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man and appears straightforward to him, but at the end of it, it's the way of death. According to that, our plans, death is the final end. But God's plan is eternal life. Paul is also writing about surrendering, about giving up. In Romans 6, verses 13, he says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Surrender completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So he's also said, yourself completely, not a part of it. Not only Sunday at 4 or at 3 o'clock, or maybe on a Wednesday at a small group. But each and every day, each and every hour, each and every minute, completely, all. Last week as well, when I said about all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. All, not something limited, everything. Jesus is asking his followers as well that they also should surrender, that they should deny themselves. Mark 8, verses 34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. You've got to surrender yourself. Take up his cross and follow me. If we follow Jesus, then we surrender everything and we follow him. We give back to God what belongs to God. And this whole surrendering is a process. It's not something you've done it and you're finished. You're continuously busy with it. You will see it at the end of the sermon as well. It's something which is continuously going on. It's not a once-off. Surrendering is a process, like sanctification is also a process. If we take a look at sanctification, then if we accept Jesus Christ, then our sanctification process actually starts. Justification. And then we are busy with sanctification. And this is where most of us are. If we are finalized with our sanctification, then we've got glorification. If there's anyone over here who's there, who's already glorified, who's already glorification, please, I would like to speak to you. We are all in between. Maybe some of us even at the beginning that we never accepted Jesus Christ, but we are in that process. So surrendering is a process like sanctification is a process. Paul is saying that in Thessalonians, and he says there, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, that you make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and completely, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Talking about you. That the God of peace himself sanctify you. That God is busy with sanctifying us. Sanctifying meaning, as the word says over there, making us holy, purify us, consecrate us. Sanctify us. The verse what Paul is using over here, if we take it and we put it in a picture, then we can see in the middle is the Spirit. That is the first one where we've got contact with God. As a result of the change in the Spirit, there is going to be a change in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. And as a result of the change in the Spirit, there's going to be also a change in our body. Of those who had a type of a Damascus turnaround in their lives, you must probably agree with me that when there was a change in your life, something happened. But there were other things which happened afterwards as well. So it was a process. It wasn't that you were, I really would say, from an unbeliever, that you became a glorified person immediately. There is a process in between. And that is continuously what's happening. As a result of your Spirit, as a result of your communication with God, as a result of you surrendering to God, as a result of the sanctification process which is happening, your mind and your will and your emotions are going to focus on what God is sharing with you. And as a result of that, your way of thinking is going to change. Certain things you're not going to do anymore. Certain movies what you watched, you say, I can't watch them anymore. Certain things what you were reading, you don't want to read them anymore. Certain friends you maybe had who are swearing continuously close to you, that you say, I can't be in their surroundings anymore. I've got to walk away from them. And that is the process of surrendering. That's the process of sanctification. So we continuously are busy giving things up to get closer to God. We should continuously tell God, whatever I got is His. So it's not my house, it's God's house. It's not my car, it's God's car. It's not my work, it's God's work. It's not my business, it's God's business. And if you make that change in your mind, it's much easier. Where the business is concerned, it's not my business, it's God's business. The employees which are working there at the moment, they know that. That's the way I'm talking. So if something is coming in, if money is coming in, I've been mentioning it before, then we say, thank you, Lord, because He's been sending somebody to pay money into the business. It's God's business. Everything belongs to God. We've got to have that type of mindset if we're speaking to other people as well. Everything belongs to God. It's nothing which belongs to us. The disciples, they also surrendered. And they surrendered because being that time with Jesus, they only came to one conclusion. They wanted to be with Jesus. John 6, verses 60 and 61. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, Jesus was talking about that He was going to be killed and that He had to be killed. Let's make it the easiest part. When they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? And yes, it offended the disciples because they didn't like it, what Jesus was saying. That was a little bit harsh. It was unacceptable for them. And then we jump to 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. It was too hard. They couldn't follow Jesus anymore. We see it in our lives as well. We see people who start a walk with Jesus, but after a certain time, it's too much. The lifestyle what they had, they've got to give it up. They've got to surrender it. But they say no, they don't want to surrender it. They've got to choose between following Jesus or following their own lifestyle. And then they choose their own lifestyle. They're not prepared to surrender it to Jesus. And walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, this is now the 12 disciples, do you also want to go away? It's a very straight question. I could ask the same over here. If you want to follow Jesus, please remain seated. If you don't want to follow Jesus, please go. Straightforward. Not a very complicated thing what Jesus is asking. Do you also want to go away? And then this clever guy, Simon Peter, he always answers first. So I don't know if he was the spokesman or if he was always at the front or whatever the case may be, but the guy is always first with his answer. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Where can we go? If you've been walking with Jesus for such a period, and if you experienced it, and you've seen the miracles over there, you've heard the words, you've seen what Jesus has been saying, how it corresponds with the Old Testament, the prophecies, and all those type of things. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus has got the words of eternal life. The disciples had the words of eternal life. Do you agree? Yes. And after the disciples, we've got the words of eternal life. We've got words of eternal life which we can speak to other people and tell them, if you want to have eternal life, Jesus is the option. There is no other option. It's not Islam or a Hindu or any other. We have got the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? You have got the words of eternal life. And Christ's doctrine, the theology of Christ, it's the word of eternal life. There's no other word. There's nothing else which you can get eternal life. There's not a life insurance which gives you eternal life. If you found it, please, I would like to know what the premium is over there. It doesn't exist. There's only one way. That's Jesus, as what we've been singing as well. Right, now I'm going to do a part which is a little bit different, but it's hopefully helping you a little bit of how a guy decided, instead of his own ideas, to surrender his own ideas and to say, God, I only want to follow you. I've been writing up and down with the guy a few times, and I'm going to read certain phrases out of it, but you can follow it on the screen as well. He sent an email to the info box of shofaronline.org, which means it's in South Africa. But those people at the moment, they're not in the office because it's holiday over there. For one reason or the other, he took the same email and sent it to utrecht@shofaronline.org, which is on my computer. So I received, on the 10th of December, I received an email which he directed to, let's call it, the head office on the 9th of December. And then he says, "I came across your church online today and feel this may be an answer to prayer. I'm 27 years old, and after the door seemed to close on a once promising soccer career, I'm currently working on a boarder master, which means he's a teacher, at a local primary school and studying a Bachelor's of Theology through Correspondence College. My girlfriend and I have a burning passion for our Lord Jesus Christ and seem to be growingly, increasingly frustrated the more we hold off in serving him in the ways your churches seem to do." So they have got a heart. They want to serve the church, but they're not finding any open doors. "As we strive towards marriage, as well as my heartful calling of missions and evangelism, we so desire to be among a body of believers with the same vision. With many doors seeming to have closed in our lives, we continue to trust that the Lord has planned for us, as we certainly don't want to be forcing up open doors, don't want to be forcing open doors that our Lord is closing. So they do not want to work contra what the Lord is doing. I believe he is closing them as he is calling for us, and so realize patience with this plan is key. With that in mind, we don't have a concrete plan, but rather ideas." So they've got ideas that we are waiting on, trusting the Lord will open or close the doors. And he's now giving a little bit of an explanation of his two ideas. The first idea, "As my girlfriend has a passion for art, is to be plugged in into a local church, study fine art, and I could then continue my studies through correspondence while hopefully getting involved in some form of ministry. So you can see their heart. They want to get involved in ministry. But they do not want to force doors open. They really want to know what God is, where God is going, and there they want to go. The second idea is for us is to try and make connections overseas where we could both start serving in the field of our heart or being pulled in. Any ideas or connections regarding that thought process would be much appreciated too. So if I had any ideas, I can forward them to them, and then maybe they can be involved over here as well. And then he says, thank you, Shofar, for amazing work you're doing in the Lord's kingdom, and I look forward to hearing back from you. So I got that email on the 10th of December, and it's in my inbox, but I didn't directly reply. I left it over there. Then I felt, okay, now I've got to reply. So I replied on the 18th of December. So there's a delay of 8 days. And I sent to him, awesome to hear for your heart for spreading the gospel. Now I'm asking him, I'm hearing you or talking about possible ideas, but what is God saying to you when you ask him? So that's the question that I asked him. Maybe a direct question, but God will guide you when you ask him. Out of a personal experience, I could hear him only on a later stage in my life when I became quiet and started listening to him instead of telling him or coming to him with my shopping list to him. Plan a day. This is now what I told him. Plan a day. Take your Bible. Take your notebook, a pen, and get to a quiet place on your own. Make an appointment with him beforehand, which is with God then, and wait for him to reveal his plans for you. And I also gave him a warning. I said, warning, you will not get a 3 or a 5 year plan. God doesn't issue things like that. And it seems to me that a lot of you agree with it as well. It all goes in steps. Step of obedience. And if God spoke to you in the past, but you were not obedient, first repent and ask God again for his guidance. And then I said, sorry that I'm writing this straight message, but I feel that the Holy Spirit is telling me to share it with you. So I thought, okay, we'll see what's happening over there. I CC'd to Renee as well. She said, well, okay, let's have a look how the guy is reacting, because he can be offended, but it also a matter of that he may be going to take it. Must I carry on reading? Okay, so I got a reply from him on the 19th of December. I'm going to spend the day with the Lord early next week. I appreciated your sharing how you've heard the Lord later in your life when you listened. For quite a few years now, I think I've brushed over what he's been telling me. So he's acknowledging now something is happening. Now, the beautiful part is coming. Then he sent me an email on the 24th of December. He says, hello, Dirk, with an exclamation mark. Okay. So that was good. At least he was getting my attention. I've certainly felt our Lord directing me since your email last week, and I've spent time with him on a few occasions asking him what he wants me to do. Yesterday, I felt him say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I'm seeking things first at the moment, a degree, etc., thinking that when I have these things, I'll go after the kingdom. Can you hear what this guy is saying now? This is what he thought. I feel that the Lord is saying to me that if you go after things first, you'll spend a lifetime chasing them and never get them, because there's always be something more. Just want to repeat that sentence again. I feel the Lord saying to me that if you go after the things first, you'll spend a lifetime chasing them and never get them, because there always be something more. And that's happening. If he maybe got his degree, then he wanted to do something else, and he wanted to do something else, and continuously is looking for doors which the Lord must open up for him. However, if I go after the kingdom things first, these things shall be indeed be added unto me by his grace, his finished work. It was placed on my heart that my theology degree is to be an aid to my ministry. It isn't a qualification in order to be able to spread the gospel. I need to stop thinking I can qualify myself for ministry through a degree. If Jesus calls me, he qualifies me. I am to be obedient to that call now and continue my online studies, but with a different mindset. He's thinking different now. It's not a degree first and then. It's God first, and I'll do the degree as well. I was led to Isaiah 40, verses 28. His understanding is unsearchable. That spoke to me because I realized that studying the Word of God is a lifelong thing. It's not something that stops at a degree. You were so right in saying don't expect a three-year plan. So that he learned as well. I've been trying to put God in a box over the last while, thinking I'll be obedient to him after certain boxes are checked. I'm being reminded that he is Lord and he doesn't work in the time frame the world is using. And he carries on. I'm going to continue asking for his guidance. It does seem crazy for me, but I know I need to keep on working on not making decisions based on my carnal mind. I will continue to ask Jesus over the next week to direct my steps. This guy was surrendering his ideas. In the first emails, he was writing about ideas. Ideas what he had, what he and his girlfriend made, and all those type of things. But then he started and spending time with God. But then he realized that God has got a plan for him, which is different. And it was so awesome for me to read that, how the thing changed. He could have been offended, like of those other disciples as well with Jesus. They walked away and they didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. But he started seeking God's face. And God replied. And God told him. Because he was prepared to surrender. He was prepared to surrender his dreams, his ideas, and say, God first, I want to follow you and only you. To surrender is to give all control to God. There's no own control anymore. The remote and everything what you've got to hand it in and you've got to give it to God. Your credit card, your debit card, your checkbook, your remote control, your car keys, your house keys, everything you've got to hand it in. You surrender everything to God. Because when we talk about surrender, we're basically putting up our hands like that. We basically cannot hold anything anymore. Everything is going to God. And when we surrender as well, we also go on our knees. And we submit ourselves to God. Because this is a position where you cannot defend yourself. You're vulnerable. And this is what we do when we surrender. We are vulnerable. We say, God, it's all about you. It's nothing from me anymore. It's all about you. I spoke this week to a lady on the phone and a little while ago. She had a busy, busy lifestyle. And suddenly through an illness, her lifestyle was stopped. Her way of living was totally stopped. She was helping other people. She was doing a lot of things for her children. All those type of things, but it suddenly was stopped. And then I spoke to her. And I said, how are things going now? She said, no, it's going better now. And she's got more time. She's got more energy. And she can do certain things again. And I said, has something changed? She said, yes. I've got a different look now at the things what I'm doing. And I said, did you also spend some time with God? She said, yes, that's the most important thing. Because God was telling me, I'm looking for a seeking Mary. I'm looking for somebody who's seeking my face. I'm not looking for a busy Martha. I'm looking for a seeking Mary. And she said, of those things I've already cancelled. I'm not involved in it anymore. I don't want to be involved anymore because I want to spend time with God. I want to hear from him what he wants me to do because I want to be what he wants me to be. It's not a matter of that I come to God and say, okay, God, I'm a very good person. I'm doing this and this and this and this and this. So you must bless me. It's not about that. When we are obedient and when we listen to God, then we can be what he wants us to be. Please stand. As you heard the story about surrendering, I'm asking a straightforward question now. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you've never publicly declared that Jesus is King in your life, that you've given everything that you've got to Him, and you want to do it, today is the right day. The year is nearly finished. Today is the right day to do that. If you've never taken that decision, and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you now, that you've got to react to it, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. We're now going to sing a song, I Surrender. It's a ministry song, which I mean, what I try to do with that is that you're going to take your time. Forget about all the other people here in the room. It's just about you and God. Listen to the song, read the words, sing them along. If you want to go and sit somewhere, whatever you want to do, it's between God and you now. And I want you to think about two things. First of all, that you can thank God that you could surrender something in 2019. Because this is the last Sunday of 2019. But most important, that you're going to think about something what you're going to surrender in 2020. But you can say, God, I'm still in that process. I'm still in that surrendering process. I haven't surrendered everything. Because like I said, if there's somebody like that who has surrendered everything, please, I would like to speak to you. Because I'm still battling with it. But that you can give something to God which you've got in your control, but which should be in God's control. And as we go through the song, then at the end of the song, I'm going to ask that you're going to look for a person who you do not know that well, of the same gender. And you're just going to sit and pray. You thank God for what you could surrender in 2019. And you pray, you actually pray in what you're going to surrender in 2020. And if you say, but I don't know what I actually must be thankful for, just be thankful that you're here today. Because there you were already surrendering to God. Because God invited you to come over here. And you replied to it. But the most important one is, what God is going to say to you, and I've prayed before, and I'm really trusting that God is going to reveal to each and every one of us something that we can bring to God, that we can say, Lord, this is what I want to surrender for 2020. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be fun. We maybe have got to do it a second or a third time again, but somewhere we've got to start, that we give everything to God, that we don't stay in control ourselves. Because God is looking for committed people. And if we as Shofar Utrecht wanted to be committed, then we must be prepared to say to God, you're in control. Because it's not my ideas or Renee's ideas or their ideas who are running the church over here. It's God who's running His church because it's His church. Tomorrow we may be not here anymore. It's God's church. And God has got a plan. And we only want to do one thing, and it is God's plan. As what we're going to sing, take your time. Forget about your wife and all the others which you brought along. Even, like I said, draw a chair at the back and go and sit over there and speak to God and ask God that God is going to reveal it to you. And then afterwards, that you can pray it in as well. And after we've done that ministry song, there's going to be time for the normal ministry as well, that you can come forward if there's anything you would like to be prayed for. And there will be a few songs, I think, still would be going to sing afterwards as well, where we're going to praise God. But let this be a time that we can surrender to God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.